Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So as it turns out from yesterday's show, a conversation that I enjoyed, I actually ended up being really wrong about something. Now, listen, for those of you who've been listening for a long time, you know, me being wrong is not necessarily headline news. That happens on a relatively frequent basis, but I'm actually relatively happy to be wrong about the thing I was wrong about yesterday. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll get into all of that in more detail. Before that, though, it was announced yesterday who Georgia's representatives for SEC Media Day is going to be next week. Now, I know for the most part, Media Days is kind of a media thing. The average fan doesn't really care about it too much one way or another, but I did think it was interesting to see J.R. Reed representing the Georgia defense, Jake Fromm and Andrew Thomas representing the Georgia offense. Now, I have a couple predictions here. First of all, I think that J.R. Reed, who, you know, in terms of his overall personality, maybe a lot of folks around the nation, around the SEC, don't know a ton about Reed. I think he'll be very well received next week. I think that Reed is just kind of a thoughtful guy. Some of my favorite interviews that I've done at Dog Nation have really been done with Reed after games and, you know, things of that nature. So I think the media is going to like J.R. Reed next week. I think that'll be fun. I think the media will be very excited about a chance to talk to Jake Fromm. That's a guy that around here we talk to a good bit, but a lot of the folks in kind of SEC country type stuff and national type stuff, they really haven't spoken to Fromm, so I'm sure they'll like that. But for a couple of seconds here, it's the other name that I want to mention. Andrew Thomas, being one of the representatives for Georgia SEC Media Days, kind of simultaneously feels like a no-brainer. He may be Georgia's very best overall player, and yet also kind of the culmination of what I think has been a challenge for Kirby Smart. Andrew Thomas was a good player from, like, the word go, right? I mean, by the time Georgia played Notre Dame, it would have been Thomas's second game, if memory serves. I mean, he was already considered kind of a rock-solid member of that Georgia offensive line, right? He was playing right tackle then. He's obviously left tackle now. He's been a good player from the word go, and we had him in a Marlowe's Tavern broadcast before he signed at Georgia. He's always been kind of a smart, thoughtful guy, but when you step in as a young guy, even if you look like you're in your fourth year of the NFL, but when you step in as a young guy, sometimes being that vocal leader, speaking up and really telling people this is the way it ought to be, sometimes that's not easy to do, especially when you've got other guys in that room who are bigger than you or as big as you. They've been there as long as you, and, you know, they've just maybe accomplished more in their college life than you. Sometimes it's hard to step up and be that leader, even if your level of play dictates that's the thing that you ought to be. And sometimes for some athletes, and we've seen this in all walks of life in sports, for some athletes, they almost want to be content to let their talking be done on the field. But Kirby Smart has always said he wants more than that from Andrew Thomas. He wants him to be more than just a guy that goes out and shows how it should be done. He wants him to also be a guy that pushes others to get better. In fact, here's what Kirby said about this in the past.
The challenge for Andrew is, can he become a vocal leader, not just a leader by example? He's got to learn to push other guys and challenge other guys, and I think he can be that kind of impact leader.
So Kirby says he's got to challenge other guys. He's got to push other guys. I think he can be that. He uses the phrase impact leader there at the end. Obviously, he means vocal, outspoken leader. And I'm going to assume that with Andrew Thomas being one of Georgia's representatives at SEC Media Days, that must mean also behind the scenes that Kirby's very happy with the way that Andrew is growing into the role that he has as a vocal leader. Now, I had a chance to talk to Andrew about this myself before the start of spring practice, and he did admit that, yeah, that's something he's really working on and really striving towards. And I think we've all seen enough examples to know that anything that Thomas pushes himself towards, he's probably going to improve on, because he's just that kind of driven guy. So don't let Thomas's presence next week at SEC Media Days be overlooked by Georgia fans here. It could very well be the culmination of something that Kirby Smart's been challenging Thomas to do, to be one of the mouthpieces for this program, to be one of the most outspoken players on this program, both externally to people like you and me, but also internally to the other Georgia players as well. My guess is Thomas's presence next week is a little bit of a symbol that stuff's really happening. And I think that does speak really well to Georgia on the field for this upcoming season. With that said, let me transition and change the subject here just for a moment. So yesterday, and I told you at the time that sometimes speculating can be a bit dangerous. Well, I speculated on the possibility that because J.R. Reed and Monty Rice were in the second half of the top 100 Sports Illustrated, top 100 players in the country for 2019. I speculated, well, if they're there in this spot, and given the fact we've got kind of 1 through 50 yet to come, my guess is there are a few Georgia players that probably will not show up on this list. Well, guess what? I turned out to be really wrong about this, and wrong in such a way that I definitely did not give a Georgia player enough credit. And frankly, upon reading the words from the Sports Illustrated staff, I didn't give Sports Illustrated enough credit either, because in their write-up about Richard LeCount, who they included as the number 50 player in the country, whoever wrote this, and it's kind of like one of those combined bylines type deal, it's hard to know specifically who wrote it, but whoever wrote this, they've been kind of doing their homework on LeCount. So I'm the bad guy. I'm wrong. Credit to LeCount for actually being maybe more nationally known than I realized yesterday when I said he'd probably be excluded from this list, although maybe he should have gotten more consideration. He got more than more consideration. He's on the list as the number 50 player in the country right now. And as I said before, Sports Illustrated, who I said maybe needs to learn a little bit more about some of these Georgia players, when you read this, it's pretty clear they've been watching LeCount pretty closely. Here's the quote from Sports Illustrated when they included LeCount at number 50. They say the physical tools and flashes of greatness are there for LeCount, who led the Bulldogs in tackles last season, but is yet to fully put everything together. He's reportedly bulked up this offseason. We talked about that yesterday, with the hope of being a stronger and more consistent tackler from the safety spot, which would be a key development for a Georgia defense with several defensive stars elsewhere on this list. We very well might be talking about LeCount as one of the best defensive backs in the country as the 2019 season unfolds. So credit here, by the way, and you see the quote there on your screen, but credit here for Sports Illustrated on picking up on two things that for Georgia fans have been a pretty common conversation. That there have been flashes of greatness, but maybe not enough consistency. More on that in a moment. And that LeCount's been working to bulk up here this offseason. That was a big topic during the spring. These are things that Georgia fans and Georgia podcast hosts kind of know a lot about. We've talked a lot about. Nationally, though, apparently Sports Illustrated's been paying a good bit of attention to this as well. And what's kind of, if I'm using the word correctly, ironic about LeCount here is much the same way that Andrew Thomas, his presence at SEC Media Days next week is maybe the culmination of an answer challenge on the part of Georgia coach Kirby Smart. There is some evidence to suggest that if LeCount really does pay off in the Sports Illustrated prediction, ends up being one of the 50 best players in the country, it is also in its own way going to be him answering a challenge from Kirby Smart. Because Smart has been as blunt about LeCount as he has been about any player on this roster. I think it's been tough, but I think it's in the category of tough love, and many of us kind of understand that. In fact, Michael Carvel wrote about that last week at DogNation.com, talking to Kirk Warner, who's not in addition to being a former Georgia tight end, a high school coach that has the connection to Richard LeCount. He essentially told him those same things, that, hey, Kirby's pushing you because he loves you. He's pushing you because he wants you to be the best you can possibly be. And now on the doorstep of maybe being that, one of the best defensive backs in the country, some of that pushing from Kirby Smart may be the fuel that actually gets LeCount there. It happened this spring when Kirby Smart said, hey, there are those flashes of greatness, but what about those other plays too? Here's what Kirby said then.
As far as Richard, I think it's been, inconsistent. He still doesn't know his assignments in and out, and I think he'd be the first to tell you. We're trying to train him at left and right safety, where he's only played free safety before, and that's for his development and growth. So it puts a little more responsibility on him to know the call every time. And when you got to play both safeties, it's a little more taxing on you mentally. And he's responded well to that. He's just got to continue to grow.
This is the kind of thing that we've heard him talking about a lot in the past, challenging to be better. And as I said before, this is the kind of thing that LeCount himself has also been pretty open about talking about there as well. So listen, I think this is kind of a nice thing to see and a nice thing to pay attention to, that Andrew Thomas challenged to be an outspoken vocal leader. His presence at SEC Media Days next week would certainly seem to be an indication of that. Richard LeCount maybe paying off on some of those predictions that came out of high school as a former five-star guy, maybe being, as Sports Illustrated said, among the very best defensive backs in the country, maybe a top 50 player, regardless of position overall. I think a lot of that is also maybe due to some pushing and some challenging from Kirby Smart. It's not always the most touchy-feely brand of coaching, maybe, from Kirby, but it certainly seems to be an effective brand of coaching. And for LeCount and Thomas in their own way, they may play a big part in the success that Georgia has hopes to have on the field for this upcoming season there as well. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. We're just really glad to have you with us today. Want to remind you to go to DogNation.com as well. Find that tab for our Dog Nation Days of Summer coming up Thursday, August 1st, our next iteration of this fun series of events. Thursday, August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. I am really excited about this one, and I'm excited right now to let you know that we are wide open in terms of our VIP stay giveaway, courtesy of Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, but you've got to get to DogNation.com and get registered for this. Get entered for your chance to win. Someone's going to be a part of that VIP stay with us and all the cool stuff that kind of goes along with that. Now, by the way, speaking of the VIPs, we had an allotment of like 20 rooms or whatever at the very beginning of all this. That was kind of our VIP allotment. We have sold out on all of those. Now, I was able to procure a couple of extra spots, but you've got to get in by this Friday to be able to do that. Now, you may say, well, B, I want to see if I want to win this VIP stay giveaway. I think you should certainly register. I think you should certainly push for your chance to win on that, but obviously only one person is going to win. If it is you and you've already booked your travel, just simply, you know, comp your stay. We'll take care of all of that. But for those of you who want to be a part of the VIP situation, I do not want you to miss out on that. I want you to go to DogNation.com. Get registered, be there with us. It includes the VIP reception that night at 5 p.m. There's a whole lot of there's a VIP gift that we're a personalized gift that we're giving away. You got to get in on all of this by Friday. So please go to DogNation.com, find out for more information about that. We've also got a couple slots left to play golf with us on that Friday, which will be August 2nd there. You can also find out more about that at DogNation.com as well. And I think you go to, is it DogNationHelp@gmail.com? Is that the email address you can reach out? Yeah, there you go. DogNationHelp@gmail.com. You can find out about how you can book your golf to be with us for that, or any questions you might still have about Dog Nation Days of Summer, the next big event, Thursday, August 1st. You can find out about that there. All right, coming up in a couple seconds, we're going to talk to Barrett Salee from CBS Sports. As I said before off the top of the program, it is SEC Media Days next week. Barrett's been going for a long time. He'll kind of help us preview what we might expect to see at SEC Media Days. That's going to be a fun conversation with him coming up in just a minute. Before we get to that, though, let's go around the doghouse today. It's brought to you by Online Trading Academy. And Georgia did get a bit of bad news on the recruiting trail yesterday, as probably unsurprisingly for those of you who've been following the forum at forum.dognation.com maybe over the last few days. It seems like some Georgia fans have kind of lost their steam when it comes to enthusiasm about four-star offensive lineman Andrew Rame. I told you on the show on Tuesday that I thought the presence of a commitment video might be a little bit of a hint and a clue that maybe he was going to stick with the home state school and go to Oklahoma. That is indeed what happened yesterday. Rame does commit, or I guess it's a recommit because he had one point in time been a member of the Sooners 2020 class. He recommits to Oklahoma. And Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com had a couple of interesting quotes from Rame. One of these I want to show you on a video here. He commits to Oklahoma, but Rame told Jeff that there were about 2 weeks where I didn't think I was going anywhere but Georgia. I loved Georgia, Rame says, but the love for OU just ran so much deeper. That's Andrew Rame, the four-star offensive lineman, explaining how close he almost came to committing to Georgia before ultimately rejoining the 2020 class for the Sooners there. This is obviously a recruiting loss for Georgia. This is a player they pushed for, a player they wanted. Talented prospect, a guy that had some versatility that could play a lot of different spots on the offensive line. And yet, while it's undoubtedly a recruiting loss, you know, I don't know that Georgia fans are going to treat this as some sort of catastrophic event either. There was a little bit of excitement about the possibility that Georgia might be able to recruit the greatest offensive line class ever, you know, some of those types of things. But given the success that Georgia has recently enjoyed in recruiting offensive linemen and the other guys who are in the mix for this 2020 class, both current commits and guys who, you know, might still join, Cedric Van Braun comes to mind here. For most Georgia fans, this is going to be kind of an easy thing to kind of get over and move on from. I guess, though, I have to admit by way of curiosity, that if I could ever have, you know, a casual conversation with Sam Pittman or Kirby Smart, I think the strategy of recruiting is fascinating. And when you go into a state like Oklahoma and try to pull a guy like Rame, I mean, how much does Georgia consider just how difficult that's going to be. Now, from the standpoint of Pittman, he went to Knoxville and got Cade May. So, and May's dad had played for Tennessee. So from that standpoint, you know, if you can do that, then you can essentially do anything on the offensive line. And yet Georgia has to choose the recruiting battles it wants to fight, and it chose to fight the Rame battle. Had Georgia focused less on Rame and more on Cedric Von Prahn, who's also a contested recruitment, would it make that one a little easier? Had Georgia focused more in attention on Paris Johnson, who took multiple visits back, you know, late spring, early summer, could that recruiting battle have had a chance to work out differently? There's a very good chance the answer to all those questions is no, and then all of these recruitments, for the most part, are contested, and there's always going to be another team on the other side of every one of these battles. But I do think that's kind of a fascinating part of this. Georgia goes all in on Rame and ultimately finishes second here and will live, I guess, to fight another day. It's Around the Doghouse, presented by Online Trading Academy, and one of the most important decisions you can make is the decision to invest in yourself. I'm talking about learning how to make the markets work for you. We all want more money. That's just a big part of life. And using the markets to your advantage is a way to get that. That's what Online Trading Academy provides you. Across a spectrum of trading styles and a variety of asset classes, Online Trading Academy can teach you how the markets work. And they offer this both in the classroom and online. It's a chance to get more of what we all want. That's money through the markets. You need an expert guiding you along the way. That's what Online Trading Academy provides. Check them out online at tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. Online Trading Academy, good to have them with us as a part of Around the Doghouse. Now, speaking of Georgia's offensive line recruitment, later on, I'm going to tell you about why one former SEC All-American is very impressed with what he's seen from a current UGA commit. We'll do that in a bit. But for now, let's talk to our buddy Barrett Salee. All right, a good friend and a great voice covering the SEC for a long time. He has been at SEC Media Days, I reckon, years and years and years, and I'm sure he's looking forward to being back and seeing what the SEC offers here for 2019 as well. It's our buddy Barrett Salee from CBS Sports. Barrett, it's really good to have you back on the program. I hope that you are doing well and enjoying your summer, and thanks for talking a little football with us here today.
My pleasure, B.A. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to seeing you next week. And who knows, maybe singing a little karaoke on Wednesday night at Gabriel.
Yeah, you never know how it's all going to play out. It's obviously a fun time to be there in Hoover, Alabama, and kind of back where SEC Media Days became famous, I guess. And let me start with the Georgia guys who are going, Jake Fromm, J.R. Reed, and Andrew Thomas. I said before you joined us that I think that the media that doesn't know a ton about J.R. Reed is probably going to grow to really like him. I think he's a really good storyteller. I think he's kind of a fun guy to talk to. I think a lot of the media will really kind of appreciate him, but it's really from you that I'm more curious about right now. The Georgia media has talked to Fromm a lot, and for the most part, he just gets asked football questions about this current team now. But there are a lot of reporters from, you know, SEC outlets or national outlets that'll be speaking to him in some cases for the first time this upcoming week. How much do you think Fromm's going to get inundated with Jacob Eason, Justin Fields type questions? Do you think that fascination still exists for kind of the non-UGA-centric media? How much of that does Fromm deal with when he goes to Hoover on Tuesday?
I hope none at all. I'm pretty sure that he will deal with it quite a bit. Mostly the Justin Fields stuff, just because it's sort of fresh in everybody's minds, or just because people haven't had a chance to speak with Jake since Justin left. I don't think that he'll get I don't think that will be the dominant storyline of question that he gets, though. I think he's going to get the, how do you get over the hump with Alabama? How does it feel to come up so short in the last two meetings? And, you know, plenty of questions related to the losses to Alabama, what he could do to maybe get them over the hump, how they're using that as motivation, all that stuff. Although I do think he'll get some Justin Fields questions, but you know, I think for the most part, you know, at Media Days, you know how it goes. You know, they get kind of wheeled around to a bunch of different outlets. I would imagine that the majority of the people outside of, you know, that big massive room in Hoover will have already sort of addressed that, or at least don't care to ask him about the past and really want more, you know, content for the future. Because, I mean, let's be honest, that is the reason this event exists, or at least the initial goal for its creation. although some would argue that now it totally means something different.
Along those same lines, you know, we haven't heard Kirby Smart address the J.J. Holloman situation yet. He'll obviously be asked that about that from his local contingent there. But how much do you think the national media cares about that story? How much do you think the national media has unfinished business with that story? How much do you think Smart's going to be forced to talk about Holloman next week?
I think there will be a few gotcha questions, probably from some usual suspects who want to stir the pot about why, you know, it took a year for Georgia to dismiss him, even though I think it's pretty obvious why that happened. He had to have the legal process play out and whatnot. But yeah, there will be some of that. There always is, some of that, the gotcha questions from people who want to just create controversy, even if the controversy is not there. So I think that will be addressed. But, you know, for me anyway, I want to spin it forward. And I know what I'll be asking Kirby Smart about that is, how do you deal with that loss? Because, what is it, 13 total catches by wide receivers on Georgia's roster right now? That by far is, you know, in terms of football, that's the predominant question. That's the one that actually matters in terms of the 2019 Georgia football team. The other stuff certainly is scandalous and awful and should never happen. But, and that will get addressed. I think Kirby will probably talk about that, you know, in his opening diatribe and hope that goes away. So we can talk about, you know, the future. So I think the Holloman stuff is still sort of fresh in the mind, obviously. So he's going to have to do something with it. I think the future with what that means for the wide receiving core is a pretty important aspect of it too.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right about that. And you and I, we may have even talked about this. I don't remember, but I think that Georgia's wide receiver situation was an issue even before Holloman's dismissal. You know, Georgia lost a lot of receiving yards and essentially now has as few returning receiving yards as any national championship contender I can ever remember. So I think you're right about that. The overall story of Georgia and its receivers, especially given the fact that Clemson, Alabama, those are two teams that are largely built behind really good receivers. The fact that Georgia's breaking in such a new crop, that was going to be a big story regardless, was it not?
Yeah, no doubt. After everybody that left, I think that's obviously, you know, was something that they're going to have to address. And obviously with Holloman's dismissal, it's even more pressing. Although I do think if you have, there's only one weakness on Georgia's offense, and that is the wide receivers. It was going to be that anyway, but it's also the one you can figure out on the fly a little bit because, it's Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt. I get that. But, you know, the early part of the schedule leading up to Notre Dame isn't exactly daunting. So, you know, with the running game and the best offensive line in college football and one of the best quarterbacks in college football, you know, if you're going to have a deficiency and you're going to hand pick where to have it, wide receiver's probably the one you choose. So, because there's no lack of talent, I think we all know that. Some of those guys, like Demetrius Robertson, have a ton of upside. I don't know what Tyler Simmons' suspension, probably a one-game suspension or whatever, but, you know, he is the fastest player on that roster. He's certainly been in that mix the last couple of years. So there are guys that can weave into that game plan. And I've said for a while now that I think Coley's going to mix in more running backs out of the backfield as receivers. You know, you saw that from Swift the last 2 years a little bit, maybe last year more than as a freshman. But, you know, with Harry and the rest of those guys, the younger guys, you know, I think you might see, some creativity with those guys too, just because, and I think they recognize that it's a problem. So if you get creative with how you sort of address the passing game, especially early, it would allow, some guys to sort of fill in the roles and sort of get their feet wet and understand what they are expected to do.
Let me talk about preseason predictions for a minute, because we looked at these numbers yesterday, and I'm going to get the numbers slightly off, but broadly speaking, I want to say there were about 300 preseason votes cast at SEC Media Days last year, and if memory serves, I think 21 of those did not have Georgia winning the SEC East. Do you think that number is more or less than 20, assuming I'm close to right, and I think I am. Do you think that number is more or less than 21 this year?
I think it's going to be around there too, just because there's always a few jokers who want to be contrarians or whatever. Then you get that every year. I think last year somebody had Missouri winning the SEC, but not the SEC East, which is They got one vote to win the SEC, but none to win the SEC East, which is impossible. Last time I checked. So, you know, yeah, you'll see it around that number. Some of them will probably be just user error. You know, some will be, you know, contrarian just to be the contrarian, and some will be just because that doesn't matter at all. You know, and they just want to be creative. It's like the one guy who, you know, picks Arkansas to win the SEC every year. I think a lot of us know who that is, but you know, there's always a few of those guys just to, you know, that do that. So I think that'll be around the right number. But you know, would everybody there, you know, pick Georgia and Alabama if they were taking this seriously? I think the number would be far below 20. I think you would probably get maybe 4 or 5 who can make a legit case that somebody else other than Georgia is going to win the SEC East.
But your answer to me is really interesting, and I asked it for a specific reason, because it sounds like you think that's still in kind of the realm of fiction to say a team like Florida, who is going to be a preseason top 10 team, a team like Florida is really ready to seriously challenge Georgia in the East. It's worth pointing out that there are, you know, some people out there who would try to make the case for that. I mean, there was even a piece at CBS Sports the other day that, you know, spoke pretty fondly of Florida. You didn't write it, but it was what was at CBS Sports. And our buddy Pete Futak from College Football News is trying to make the case for the Gators here and there. But it sounds like you think that the number of people who truly believe that is not statistically significant yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case. And, you know, look, I think there are probably far more people that would tell you, hey, if Florida beats Georgia, they'll win the East. You know, if they can find a way to do that, then yeah, Florida might win the East. And that still would be taking, I think, a little bit of a leap because, you know, Florida's offensive line, I just don't know what it's going to be this year. But, you know, I think there are people, and, I, you know, Keith, my old boss, I know how he operates, and he does pick, you know, every single game. I do, too, in the SEC this year. And if you think Florida is going to beat Georgia, then you absolutely can concoct a scenario where, you know, some dominoes fall that really aren't that outlandish to a point where Florida gets the nod in the East. So, you know, I think that would be the way you have to do it, to say, look, Florida's going to improve. You're going to see a better Felipe Franks. The offensive line's going to come together. Zuniga's going to be the center point of a really good defense that improves in year 2 under Todd Grantham, and they beat Georgia. And thus, win the tiebreaker. And I think that's the way, if you were going to make an argument, you'd have to go about it.
Hey, let me finish up with this, Barrett, if you don't mind. We talked a lot about Georgia, but just beyond that, as a final question, what else are you looking to see next week? Are there a lot of tough questions for Alabama about how the Clemson game unfolded, for instance? Anything else kind of on your mind beyond Georgia that you think ends up being kind of a fun or interesting storyline from SEC Media Days?
Well, Saban will have some sort of quote like, don't waste the failure from 2 years ago. And he'll say it in every single room throughout his time at Media Days. But, yeah, that'll be a big one. I think the outside of Georgia and Alabama, you're going to see a lot of questions centering around how do you get to that point? How do you, you know, contend with Alabama if you're in the West or Georgia in the East? And if you're Georgia, how do you get over that hump? But to me, I'm interested in a lot of these quarterbacks, you know, Auburn quarterback situation. Fascinating to me. Kelly Bryant at Missouri is fascinating to me. Tommy Stevens versus Keaton Thompson at Missouri is wild. How Kellen Mond will sort of handle the spotlight, how Jake Bentley can improve or if he can improve. You know, same thing with Jared Garantano. So, you know, this isn't the superstar quarterback classes of 2012 and 2013, but it's still pretty solid. And outside of Jake and Tua, you know, there are some guys that have the chance to become legit stars. And, you know, I think that is, at least for me anyway, something that can emerge to say, hey, look, you know, this could be the year of the quarterback, you know, if some of these guys live up to their potential.
Hey, Barrett, great stuff. At Barrett Salee on Twitter. Where else should people go if they want to keep up with your coverage of SEC Media Days next week?
Yeah, download the CBS Sports app, watch CBS Sports HQ streaming for free on any device, the tablet, iPhone, whatever. I'll be on SiriusXM, obviously, a few times as well. And follow on Instagram at Barrett_Salee, because that'll be a fun way to live the life of Media Days, which will also include a smoke-filled, cheap beer karaoke journey to Gabriel's on Monday night or Wednesday night.
Should be a great time, Barrett. We'll look forward to seeing you there. Thanks so much for your time.
Hi, CBS.
Really good stuff there, Barrett Salee, CBS Sports. He's a good friend and a good guy talking college football, and I thought he said something very interesting. He mentioned the idea of a, quote, gotcha question when it comes to Kirby Smart with J.J. Holloman. I'm actually pretty fascinated by this, how misunderstood I think this scenario is by the non-Georgia media, who for the most part has beaten this thing to death and covered it ad nauseum. There are a lot of people next week who look forward to, I think, trying to, you know, get their big moment in the sun here. But there's one particular aspect of the Holloman story, which will come up next week, that I think is just maybe completely misunderstood. I heard an interview with the gal who broke the story for whatever, it was the hometown paper for Holloman, and she was on an Atlanta radio station. And the one thing that she said was one of the ways in which they became aware of the story was that they had heard that Holloman had cleaned out his locker. That was one of the first tips to them that this might be a story, this might be a real thing. Now, if that's true, and we have no reason to assume that it's not, then that coincides really well with the timeline of, hey, the Holloman thing first became, you know, reported to the police and at the beginning of June. Georgia seemingly acted on this, according to the reporter's own words from the Atlanta radio interview, Georgia acted on this to dismiss Holloman, and that dismissal is what tipped off the news media, in this case the local hometown paper, tipped off the news media that Holloman was no longer on this team. So the people who want to next week try to go for the, hey, Kirby, why did you wait a year to act on J.J. Holloman? I think the obvious answer to that question is no one other than Holloman and the lady that he was involved with, no one knew about this until the beginning of June. So anybody who tries to go down that road next week, I think is going to be rebuffed, and rightly so, because the facts in this situation simply argue for a very different interpretation of that, but someone next week is probably going to try to be a star and ask what he or she thinks is a really tough, bold, brave question, and they'll be made to look like a fool for doing that. But really, really good stuff by Barrett Slee from CBS Sports. I hope you'll check him out next week. And here at Dog Nation, we're looking forward to being at SEC Media Days as well.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, as I said before, I always enjoy having Barrett Slee on the program, and it's interesting to get the non-Dog Nation, non-UGA perspective on something. Now, Barrett kind of lives right here in the heart of the SEC, so he's obviously, you know, following these Georgia stories closely and these SEC stories closely, but even still, he's not kind of inside the bubble of Dog Nation, so getting that outside perspective, and it sounds like once again, and Barrett's been this way for the last couple of years, it sounds like once again, Barrett's pretty high on Georgia, and like a lot of us, relatively skeptical of what Florida's going to be able to do this season. That's kind of interesting to see. Before we move on to our SEC Through, let me remind you about some really fun stuff coming up at Callaway Resort and Gardens. It's Christmas in July at Callaway. That means it's time to save big on the South's most magical holiday tradition. That's right. It's time to start thinking about this. You can get your tickets right now for Fantasy and Lights at the biggest discount of the year. You want to take advantage of that because of the deal. Because just like Christmas, these prices will be gone before you know it. Visit CallawayGardens.com to get yours today. So really good stuff there. Make sure you take advantage of that. All right. Let's do our SEC Through. And I mentioned before that Sports Illustrated put out its 50 through 26. We talked yesterday in the show about 51 through 100 of the top players in the country. Sports Illustrated has re-upped that, giving us 26 through 50. And I was surprised, and pleasantly so, to see Richard LeCount included. And I talked about that off the top of the program. I want to mention some of the other names that are on this list. Christian Fulton, the LSU defensive back, comes in at number 47. It's one of the reasons why I'm as high on LSU as I am, is that there's no shortage of top flight defensive talent for the Tigers, despite the fact that Devin White's not there, Greedy Williams not there. There's still a good number of big-name guys left of that LSU defense. You got Albert O, the Missouri tight end. And I apologize for not even going after that last name. I feel like pronunciations in general are something I'm pretty good at. But for some reason, Albert O from Missouri, and they even their SID department will let you call him Albert O. For some reason, Albert O's last name is one that gives me especially pause before I talk about. A lot of other SEC names kind of show up on this list there as well. Jalen Waddle, the Alabama wide receiver, showing up at number 39. This is a name that I think Georgia fans got really acquainted with, unfortunately, in the SEC championship. You know, Jerry Judy. Did Judy win the Biletnikoff last year? He won the Biletnikoff last year. He'll be among the finalists of that award again this year. But in a lot of ways, it's what Waddle brings to the table the sheer speed and some of the stuff underneath that makes him as dangerous as he is. And that's one of the reasons why Georgia's defensive back recruiting has been such a hot topic and why Georgia's pushing for a guy like Kelee Ringo, because at programs like Clemson and Alabama, these big-time receivers are not going out of style anytime soon. And having the kind of defensive backs that can lock those guys down, that's what a Devon Wilson's supposed to be all about. That's what a Tyreek Stevens is supposed to be all about. That's what a Tyson Campbell is supposed to be all about. Georgia's been stocking that position group to do battle with these receivers. And the number 39 player in the country, according to Sports Illustrated, Jalen Waddle, another example why that's important. Get to Jabari Zuniga from Florida, coming in at number 38. I said this yesterday. I'm not going to just sit here and you know, rag on Florida all the time just because that's what I want to do and that's what sometimes you might want to hear. I do think it's important to be at least as objective as we possibly can be, as fair and balanced as we possibly can be. I do have some respect for that Florida defense. I don't think this is as talented as some of the ones we've seen over the last couple of years there. I think they're missing some guys in some key spots. But it's still a very talented defensive backcourt. I think that Zuniga is a pretty good player. So when you think about, you know, where Florida does pose a bit of a threat, it is defensively. As Barrett Salee said, though, a moment ago, if you're making an overall evaluation about Florida, the one thing you can't really get over is the issues along the offensive line. I think that's a problem. I think that Felipe Franks' progression is probably slower than some people want it to be. And I don't know they have a top-flight running back in that offense either. So those are the Florida issues. But defensively, they are not without quality players, and Zuniga is certainly one of those. Another Georgia player comes at number 37. That's a DeAndre Swift. I'll read you quickly here what the Sports Illustrated staff says about Swift. A decisive runner with devastating cuts, they call him. At 5'9", 215 pounds, able to shed would-be tacklers with ease. Finishes runs with authority. Boy, you love those descriptors. He split carries with Elijah Holyfield last season, but Holyfield is now in the NFL, which should elevate Swift into a more prominent role for a Georgia offense that's breaking in some new receivers. Now, that's an example of where I think Sports Illustrated falls prey to the national narrative that's kind of out there that, hey, now that Holyfield is gone, it's going to be even more carries for Swift. But we've said this now. You can look at the statistical profile for Georgia over the last couple of years. It's not just 2018. It's 2017 as well. Georgia's not looking to give 20-plus carries in a single game to any one running back. And I think that the absence of Holyfield means more opportunities for the other backs. I still think Georgia wants to be careful how it uses DeAndre Swift, not because he's fragile, just because you know, there's no reason to overwork anybody. I've said before that I think the Georgia rushing yards total this season is probably going to end up being pretty close to what it was in 2017, 2018. But I think that, and this is no disrespect to Swift, I think it'll be more evenly distributed among what I believe is going to be Brian Herring, the veteran, Zamir White, who's really going to emerge on the scene. He may be correctly put in a top 100 at the end of the year if he doesn't show up in kind of those preseason conversations. And then DeAndre Swift getting his as well. But for the most part, you know, kind of more evenly distributed among those. There's some other SEC guys in here like Alex Leatherwood and others. The running back from Vanderbilt, Keyshawn Vaughn, shows up here, by the way, ahead of DeAndre Swift. That's something to think about for week one, by the way. So kind of interesting stuff. Nick Coe, the Auburn defensive lineman, we've said before, we think the Auburn defensive line's pretty good and worth paying some attention to. So pretty good stuff from Sports Illustrated. I'm sure we'll talk more about this, and I'll put a link to it. We put the show page out at dognation.com, but for now, we'll make that your SEC through. And here for a moment here on Dog Nation Daily, I want to go back to something I talked about before, which was that Georgia lost out on offensive lineman yesterday when Andrew Rehm chose to stay with the home state school, Oklahoma. He is not coming to UGA. But, as I said before, while this is clearly a loss, a recruitment that Georgia hoped to win and didn't, for most Georgia fans, the mitigating factors around that end up making a lot of Dog fans feel okay. What Georgia has recently recruited over the last couple of years when it comes to offensive linemen, and what Georgia also has in the mix of the 2020 class. Now, speaking of one of those guys, I got a text yesterday from our buddy Mike Johnson. Now, many of you know who Mike is, but he is himself a former All-American offensive lineman. Played at Alabama, my good friend, a regular guy that shows up here on Dog Nation Daily a lot, played in the NFL for the Atlanta Falcons, was a good NFL offensive lineman for a number of years, and he's also just a student of the game. He's out and about, you know, just involved in football even now. And so he texted me yesterday during Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. Let me read this text to you. And if you're kind of disappointed about Rain, you'll like what he says about another Georgia offensive lineman, a commit in this case, Tate Ratledge. He writes during the show, BA, I know you probably won't see this until after you're off the air, but I saw y'all broadcasting, and I just had to tell you that he saw Tate Ratledge at an event here this week, and this is what Mike Johnson, the former SEC All-American, says about Ratledge, that he's one of the most impressive high school players I've ever seen. He's big and angry, and he finishes off his statement by saying that he's going to be a player for y'all, and by y'all, he means the University of Georgia. So you can't get them all, and Georgia missed out on Andrew Rain, but it has won pretty nicely with a good number of offensive linemen, Tate Ratledge included, and a guy who knows the position well, was an All-American and then an NFL guy at that spot, says, when I see Tate Ratledge, I see one of the most impressive high school players that I've seen, a guy who's big and nasty and whose game easily translates to the major college level. That's a pretty nice thing to hear from Mike Johnson, and it echoes very well with what we've heard about Tate Ratledge thus far. Ratledge, I would say, was one of the stars of the opening last week in Frisco, Texas. He was one of those guys, whether it be in one-on-one matchups with Brian Brzee or just any other, some of the testing stuff, that Ratledge is pretty obviously making a name for himself. I don't know if this means he's going to finish as a composite five-star or not. I also know that in some cases, sometimes good enough is just good enough. Andrew Thomas himself wasn't a composite five-star either, and yet he's played like it every step of the way for Georgia. Ratledge may be very much the same kind of guy, and he's also very likely a tackle at Georgia, which is the kind of position that Georgia really needs as well. So I thought you'd like that. Good stuff from Mike Johnson with some nice words, complimentary there of Tate Ratledge, an offensive lineman in the mix for 2020 that Dog fans cannot wait to see on the field. All right, let's get ready to wrap up for today. Really appreciate all of you being with us. And we mentioned Florida before, so let me remind you, how about a Gator Hater Updater? You know, around here, we believe that Georgia fans are supposed to be Gator Haters, and most of you are pretty good at Gator hating. And listen, with off seasons like this, Florida makes hating the Gators fairly easy to do. Well, with all that in mind, how about the fact that it's been 985 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs? And as I say, we think that number is going to keep going up for a long time to come. It's our Gator Hater Updater right here on Dog Nation Daily. I am really excited about what's coming up for us over the course of the next few days. Some of the stuff you won't start seeing into really probably a couple weeks in the future, but just know this, that behind the scenes here at DogNation.com, we've already begun the work on the season. We've got some really fun video stuff coming out for you. This is just going to be a great year at Dog Nation, and it is just about to be here. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.